Out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of little Alfred. He was wearing a huge grin, and his eyes were sparkling like, I don't know what. Diamonds, I suppose. But the point is that he looked very happy about something. And all at once, the pieces of the puzzle began falling into place. The little snipe was bored and had drawn me and Kitty down into a show. Into a showdown, I should say. In other words, he wanted us to fight over the bone. In other words, Pete and I were being used. This threw an entirely different light on the whole situation. I turned back to the cat. Pete, I've just figured this deal out. Alfred is trying to promote a fight between us. That was his purpose in using backwards code, to foment jealousy and envy and greed between us. Just look at yourself, Pete. He succeeded. He stopped yowling and listened. I continued. He's appealing to our lowest instincts, Pete, and has brought us to the brink of open warfare. I don't know about you, but I kind of resent being used by a bratty little kid. I mean, we're adult dogs and cats, yet we're being tooled around by this ornery little stinkpot. I've got no grudge against you, Pete, and I think it would be a crying shame for us to go into combat over something as silly as a bone. What's a bone, Pete? The world is full of bones. This is just one of thousands, millions. And I ask you, Pete, sincerely and from my deepest heart, is one measly bone worth all this? Just look at what it's done to you. You've turned into a greedy, selfish, miserly little brute. He still had his teeth sunk into the bone. I continued. I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm ashamed of yourself, too. I mean, we have every reason to be friends. We share the same ranch, the same world, the same stars at night. Yet here we are, at each other's throats over a paltry, insignificant little bone. Talk to me, Pete. Tell me what you think. Am I right or wrong about this? I sincerely and honestly want to know your thoughts on this. He dropped the bone.
Well, Hanky, since you put it that way...
In one rapid motion, I snatched up my bone and buried Kitty beneath an avalanche of paws and claws. He never saw it coming and never had a chance. Okay, maybe he didn't stay buried under the avalanche for very long, and maybe he cut loose with a burst of fully automatic cat claw fire that almost ruined my face. But I hasten to point out that he took cheap and unfair advantage of the situation. See, my mouth was full of T-bone, the very same bone he had just tried to steal only moments before. And with my mouth full of T-bone, I wasn't able to defend my honor in the manner... Man alive, I had almost forgotten how much damage a sniveling little cat could do in a very short period of time. He buzzsawed my whole face, fellers. And we're talking about lips, eyebrows, cheeks, gums, nose, the whole shebang. At that point, I abandoned the path of reason, dropped the bone, and went to total warfare. If Kitty Kitty had been just half a step slower, he would have paid dearly for his crimes. Instead, I had to settle for a moral victory. I ran him all the way to the water well and chased him up a tree. There! I yelled at him with a voice filled with righteous anger. And let that be a lesson to you. He grinned down at me from the tree.
Yes, I've learned a valuable lesson, Hanky. Chewing on a dog's face is a lot more fun than chewing on a bone. Let's try it again sometime.
I tried to think of a stinging reply, but my face and nose were stinging so badly by then. I mean, he had really trashed my face, the sneaking little weasel. I failed to come up with a stinging reply, so I whirled around and marched away, confident that I had won another huge moral victory over the cat. At least I had a bone to show for my efforts. Pete had nothing but a tree. Holding my trashed face at a proud angle, I marched proudly down to the... My goodness, there was Sally Mae at the yard gate. Acting on instinct, I altered my flight plan and pointed myself towards the gas tanks. I mean, there is something about Sally Mae that arouses certain feelings of, well, guilt in a dog. Even when we haven't done anything naughty, her very presence makes us think we have. And in this case, I had more or less been involved in chasing her precious kitty.
Hank, come here.
Uh-oh, there it was. She'd seen everything. She knew everything. She always saw and knew everything. Didn't she ever sleep? I altered course again and headed for the yard gate. But this time, I switched everything over to looks of remorse and mournful wags. I began rehearsing my story. Sally Mae, I know what you're thinking. You probably think that I was beating up on your stupid... That is, you probably think I was fighting with your cat, and I realize that the evidence looks pretty damaging, but I think I can explain everything. Honest. No kidding. That's as far as I got with my story. I couldn't seem to get past the I can explain everything part. I would just have to wing it and hope for the best. I approached her with a big cowdog smile. She did not return the smile. Instead, her eyes were filled with ice and snow and cold north winds. Yikes! It appeared that I was in deep trouble. But you'll never guess what she said. I was shocked. Here's what she said, word for word.
Now you look at his face, Alfred Leroy. You see what you caused? Poor old Hank was just minding his own business until you drew him into a fight.
Boy stuck out his lip.
I was only playing, Mom.
I know you were playing, Alfred, but the point is that someone else paid the price for your fun.
Nuh-uh, because Hank and Pete had fun, too.
Maybe they did, but they paid for it. Hank got scratched, and Pete got chased up a tree. And what about you? You, who started the whole thing.
Got scratched. See?
He pointed to a tiny scratch on his arm.
And it hurts real bad, Mom. No fooling.
She shook her head.
I think you need to come inside and stand in the corner for 30 minutes.
Oh, Mom.
And think about being kinder to animals. God didn't put them here for you to torment.
Oh, Mom.
In the house. March!
The boy twisted his face into an angry pout and beamed a hot glare at me, of all things.
Hank, you got me in trouble, and you're a dummy.
Me? What? I stared at him in disbelief as Sally Mae escorted him into the house. He was calling me a dummy and accusing me of getting him into trouble? What a wild imagination he had. But... that didn't matter now because Sally Mae had sniffed out the real culprit in the case and was hauling him off to jail. It served him right, the little snipe. Justice had been... Although I had to admit in the deep, dark wickedness of my heart that giving the cat his daily thrashing had been worth all the scratches. If given the opportunity to do it all over again, I would have done it all over again. Especially if little Alfred got blamed for it. Not a bad deal, in other words. Especially when you consider that I had also won the grand prize of 3 juicy, delicious T-bone steak bones. Speaking of which, where were my bones? I sniffed the ground and located the spots where they had been. 3 distinct locations that still held the warm and wonderful fragrance of steak juice. The smell was there. The bones were not. They were gone. Someone had stolen my steak bones! I went streaking down to the gas tanks. I had supposed that I would find Drover asleep on his gunny sack bed, but I was shocked to find him awake. But that was only the first of several shocks that awaited me, as you will see. I came roaring up to the gas tanks, throttled down, hit full air brakes, and came to a sliding stop. Grover, I'm glad you're awake. He gave me his usual silly grin.
Thanks, Hank. I'm glad too, 'cause the waker you are, the dayer it seems.
What?
I said, well, let me think here. I said, the awaker the day, the shorter the night. I think that's what I said.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it, but what was your point?
The point? Well, let's see here.
He rolled his eyes around. I tried to remain patient. Are you getting impatient? Let's change chapters. Maybe that'll help.